If you will, turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14 as we get ready for our next I am statement of Jesus. And I want to start with this. If Jesus is telling the truth, so if he has told us the truth, every other path leads nowhere. Every other path goes nowhere. He didn't offer us a suggestion. He made a claim that demands a response from us. The way, the truth, the life. Either Jesus is everything or he's absolutely nothing. So, who has Jesus shown himself to be so far on the last several weeks that we have gone through this? So over the past few weeks, we've answered the essential question that I think we all have to have as we grow in our faith, and that is, who is Jesus? If somebody comes up to you and says, who is Jesus? If your answer is just simply, he's a religious figure, you have no relationship with him. You do not understand who the Lord is in your life. Fair? So, who is Jesus? And it's not based on culture. It's not based on opinion. Do you know that it's not based on tradition? But by his own words, each I am statement that Jesus has made has revealed more of his heart and his mission that God sent him here for. Week one, he said, I am the bread of life. Jesus is our daily sustainer. It is in him that we find wholeness and completeness. And it is only him that satisfies the deep hunger in our soul. If you know anybody who has just spent their life running from the Lord, their life is always in chaos, they've gone through 25 marriages, this, that, and the other, they need to try some Jesus. Because Jesus is the unifier of our faith. He is the one that brings wholeness to our relationship. Because we run searching to find love, to find acceptance, to find whatever it is that we're trying to find. And do you know, without Jesus, you will live your entire life empty and always searching until you find him. That's the truth. I come from that, okay? Week two, Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus alone, Doug, is the one who grants access to eternal life. Jesus is the door. He is the gate into God's family. If you remember, when he's talking about the sheepfold, he says, anybody who comes by way that is not through the gate is a thief and a robber. But those who come in through the gate will be found. And so he is the door of which we access and we enter in into the family of God. Week three, I am the good shepherd. Jesus leads, he protects, and he lays down his life for us. Did we not just celebrate that through communion this morning? He laid his life down for us. And here's the beautiful part about this. He knows us personally. This wasn't just an act to say that he did it, but he did it because he knows us personally. Last week was, I am the resurrection and the life. What does this tell us? Jesus has power over death. It's finished. It's done. He is the power over death, and it is in him alone that we find eternal hope. What is our eternal hope? To one day be in glory with him. So it is in him alone. And so I hope you have your Bible. I know I've already called you to open it, but just in case you haven't, John chapter 14 is where we're at this morning. And I'm going to give you a little bit of context before John 14 so you understand why Jesus is saying what he's saying this morning. And so referencing chapter 13 of the book of John, Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. He has just predicted that he was going to be betrayed. And he told Peter, you will deny me how many times? Three times before the rooster crows. So if you can imagine the atmosphere in that room, and this is during the Last Supper. This is during what we just celebrated. This all took place. The atmosphere of that room was surely tense. It was probably uncertain. There was a lot of question. Why did Jesus just make all these statements? And I'm going to guess that there's maybe a little bit of fear that resonates with the disciples this morning. And our Bible reading in John chapter 14, the first couple of verses, is Jesus' way of comforting his disciples and recentering their focus, not on the things that he just said, but to bring the focus back to him and who he is. Because that's what truly matters, is Christ Jesus himself. So let's read our scripture this morning. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It says this: "Let not your hearts be troubled." Well, I wonder why he's saying that. Because their hearts were troubled from what just took place in chapter 13. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." This is the future hope of glory with him in heaven. "And you know the way to where I am going." Do you know what happens next? Thomas pipes in, and Thomas said to him, "Lord, if we do not know where you are going, how can we know the way?" What a perfect question to lead in to our I am statement. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That kind of puts, like, if you had doubts on "I am the resurrection and the life," or "I am the good shepherd," or "I am the door," he now has just lumped, and he said, "I am the way, the only path to heaven, I am the truth, and I am the," what? "The life." It is in him and him alone, church. So Jesus had just finished encouraging his disciples. In John 13, they heard about betrayal, they heard about denial, they heard about his coming departure, that they were wondering how that was going to happen. I am certain that their hearts were heavy. I'm certain they were wrestling with things. But he gave them a promise. He said, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself." Then right in the middle of their confusion and fear, Jesus said these words to answer Thomas: "I am the way and the truth and the life. That is the way of which I go, that you know." Jesus is not one of many options, church. He's not one of many options. He is the option. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. It's pretty plain and clear like that. He does not just show us the path to God. He is not a, have you ever been on a guided tour where they take you through and they tell you? Jesus is not a tour guide. He is not leading us down a path. Instead, he is the path that we are to go. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the path. And in a world today that is full of confusion, there's a lot of compromise that happens. There's spiritual counterfeits everywhere we turn. Jesus makes an exclusive and an unshakable claim when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we're going to look at all three of those here today. The first point is Jesus is the way. We start chapter 14 with Jesus comforting his disciples. He had just told them that he's leaving. He promised that he's going to go and prepare a place and come back for him. And Thomas asked the question that I think most of us would probably say, "Hey, I have a question. We don't actually know where you're going or the way of which you go. How are we supposed to get there?" So Jesus answered in a way that probably wasn't expected by anybody. And back in the day before phones, this is going to age a lot of us in here today. Back in the day before we had cell phones that had GPS on them, does anybody remember MapQuest? Okay, MapQuest was big when I was in high school. If you were going somewhere, you quick did your MapQuest, downloaded and printed, and you took your 4 pages of turn-by-turn directions. Before MapQuest, can you believe this, kids? There was maps. They opened up maps of the state and it had all the roads. Or you had an atlas that had the nice binding on it and it was like this big and you'd turn state by state to see all the major roads. Or if you refused to carry a map and you found yourself lost, what would you do? You'd stop and ask. You'd go to a gas station and you'd say, "Hey, Mr. Attendant, how do I get to where I'm going?" How would they always give directions? By landmarks, right? You drive to this corner and there's, and see that big clock? That's where you have to turn. And they would give instructions. Maybe they would have pulled out a paper map and scribbled on it and give you some kind of a description of where you're supposed to go. Jesus does not give directions like that. He does not give us directions like that. He does not say, "Here is how you get to God." He says, "I am the way to get to God. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light." I'm not pointing at myself to say, I am saying that, that is Jesus. He is not a guide pointing out the path and marking the way that which we should go. In fact, Scripture affirms that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I wonder, crazy that Scripture would affirm that. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "And there is salvation in no one else." There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Must be saved. It is Christ Jesus. And then Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 20, if you want to write that down, look it up later. It says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." It is by the blood of Jesus that we can enter the holy place, that we can stand before God. Verse 20, "By the new and living way that he," Jesus, "opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh." That should tell us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So instead of relying on your works or your efforts or your path, "I'm just going to be a good person. I'm going to do this and I'm going to live like this. And Jesus will look me in the face someday and say, 'Gosh, you live such a swell life. I can't possibly send you to hell.'" Does Scripture tell us that at all? No. Because if we go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else." It doesn't say if you're good enough. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the way. So don't rely on your effort. Don't rely on your works. Don't rely on your path. Those will only lead to disappointment. They will. It is futile. You just don't want to go there. Because every single one of these, while maybe, perhaps, good intention is involved, they all lead us away from God. Every one of them. Your efforts without Jesus are efforts leading you away from Christ. Jesus is the only way that leads us home. So answer this question this morning. Everybody can answer this on their own without. The question is, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Have you surrendered control and put trust in him to lead the way? Or are you leading and you're just saying when you have hard opportunity or hard things come up, "Hey, Lord, I need you now." You can sit back down, "Jesus, I got it for a bit. Lord, I need you now. Jesus, go ahead and sit back down. I got it again." What are we doing when it comes to letting Jesus lead the way? And this leads us to our next point, because not only is Jesus the way that we follow, he is also the truth upon which we build our lives. Our second point is Jesus is the truth. John chapter 1, verse 14 and 17, it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. We live in a time, and I think we can all agree with this, and maybe this is going to be a controversial statement, so get ready to hear it. We live in a time when truth is a pliable concept. Truth is pliable today. It allows us to create our truths based on our feelings, based on a set of circumstance that may be to our own liking or against our own liking, and it focuses based off of feeling rather than facts. Now, I'm going to submit to you today that truth is not a flexible thing. Truth is not flexible. Jesus stands firm as truth. He doesn't just speak the truth. We need to understand He is the truth. He doesn't just say, "I am." He is the truth. He reveals the heart of the Father, and He calls us to build our lives on what is real. What is real? If we build it off of our feelings, it takes us further away from God, not closer to Him. Does everyone know how a compass works? I was in Boy Scouts, so I was forced to learn how a compass works. Does everybody know how a compass works? A compass works by pointing to magnetic north. So the needle always points to magnetic north, and then it has a dial that you can turn to track which way you're going against magnetic north. And then you would track how many steps you take or how many meters you travel. And so that's how a compass works. Am I right, Rob? Thumbs up. I'm right. But listen, what happens when a compass breaks? When a compass breaks, it still points, right? The needle still has to point somewhere, but it may not be magnetic north. And when a compass breaks, the needle will continue to spin, but without it pointing north any longer, while you might think you're going in the right direction, you're actually lost. Now, unless you don't know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, you're really lost. This is the world that we live in today. People are lost. People are lost. Everything spins. Everyone claims their truth. Truth seems to be a confusing thing. Here's what's not confusing: Jesus. He is not changing. He doesn't move the goalpost. He is the true north that never moves. And He said it plainly Himself. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth," and what? "And the truth will set you free." So do you need some truth this morning? Might I suggest we start cracking the Bible open and consuming the words and start abiding by His words. If you need more truth in your life, try a little Jesus. And by try a little Jesus, I mean start with Jesus. Don't just give Him a little bit. Give Him everything. Build your life on His word. Build your life on the fact that He is the truth. And the question that we are faced with this morning is, what are you letting define truth as in your life? What are you letting define truth in your life? Is it Jesus? Or is it circumstances or feelings that are happening? Our third point this morning is Jesus is the life. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." John 10, 10. Jesus doesn't just offer eternal life later. It's not just a future event that we're looking forward to and we're hopeful for. But instead, right now, He offers each of us a life of peace, a life of hope, and a life of truth right now. That is on the table in front of every one of us right now. He wants us to have a life of purpose. He wants you to have purpose in your life. And it's a life that becomes full because it's connected to Him, because He is the life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it says, whoever has the Son has, does anyone know? Life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Reread that. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Period. And when I wrote this, I kind of knew, but I didn't write it because I knew. So has anyone recently purchased a new phone? Crystal, I know you and Arvin just did because you told me last Sunday. Ruth did as well. Pull if you have it, pull it out. Just put, right? Just show your phone, right? It's an iPhone. Right? Okay, PJ's got one too, right? Are you an iPhone or you Android? Okay, good man. He's a smart man. It's free. Hey, but what I'm trying to say is, doesn't that phone look nice, new, and shiny? It's pristine. It has no cracks. It has no blemishes. It hasn't been dropped on the floor a dozen times. Yeah, I do that all the time. It still works, so I'm not worried about that. I drop it much harder than that. Literally, my hand just stops working sometimes, and I just throw whatever is out of my hand on the floor. So that phone has seen. That's why we get cases. See, if I take my case off, I don't know if you could tell that this isn't not a new phone, because the case does its job. But on that new phone, let's get to the point, without power, guess what? That new phone is worthless. It's no different than my phone without power. Without power, it is absolutely worthless. And guess what? Did you know that we are created to run on the life of Christ? We are created to run on the life of Christ. Without Him, you might look nice, you might look pristine, you might look like you got it all well together, but guess what? You're surviving on low power mode. If you're an iPhone user, you know what that is. When your battery gets to 20%, it says, should we turn on low power mode so we can get you some more time on your phone? Without Christ, you are surviving on low power mode, period. You're not pristine. You are just surviving. Do you know that Christ does not call us just to survive, but to live a full life in Him? Are you living in all that Christ offers? If you were to look at your life and look at everything that He has given you, He has offered you, are you living in all that He offers? And if the answer to that is, I'm not sure, or no, it's not. I'm not living in all that He offers. Let Jesus be your source every day in every area of your life. Because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So how do we apply this to our life today? How do we say, okay, great, I heard, I knew that, it's all good, that's nothing new to me. So how do I apply this? Here's how. If Jesus is the way, if He is the truth, and He is the life, then the only response we have is to give Him everything. Everything. Every aspect of your life, your finances, the way that you love your spouse. Listen, it is all. Give it all to Him. Follow Him as the way. Trust Him as the truth. And live through Him as the life. This isn't about agreeing with my sermon today. It's about surrendering to a Savior. Giving Jesus everything means that it's just more than a prayer. It's not just a simple prayer that we say and, oh, that's great. It means that we are actively surrendering every area of our life and trusting Him with matters most. Are you trusting Him with what matters most in your life? Because that is what surrender is. So here's some scenarios that we could apply this to. It means putting Jesus at the center of your marriage, not just asking Him to fix your spouse. If you're asking Him to fix your spouse, let's get you fixed first, and then let's get you focused on Jesus. Because if you're praying that prayer for your spouse, I can't imagine what they're praying for you. Okay? And don't start jabbing them in the rib saying you better not be doing that. But listen, put Jesus at the center of your marriage. You know what doesn't fail when Jesus is at the center? Your marriage. I get that there's circumstances beyond, and but guys, if you want a successful marriage, put him at the center. It also means trusting him with your finances. Even when it feels tight, honoring him with the first, not the leftovers. There have been times in Alicia and I's life when I used to sell cars and worked on commission. PJ, you know this. There's good months, there's lean months. Some months you can go out and eat at Red Lobster. Some months you're making a bologna sandwich, okay? The idea is that you build up enough savings that the lean months don't seem lean. But who knows, life happens. There's been times in our life where we've had conversations saying, do we forego giving of our tithe so we have this to pay? And what have we always done? We've always tithed. The hardest thing to do when money is tight, but we trust him more than what the numbers say in the checkbook. It means letting go of the habits you keep justifying. Because you know it pulls you away from him. Listen, if you have a habit and you are making excuses, or you're saying, well, that's just a thorn in my side that God has given me to deal with. No, it's not. That's just a facade that you're putting up to, as an excuse to say, I get to keep lingering in this because I actually enjoy it more than I enjoy the presence of the Savior in my life. If that offended you, let go of the habit that you are justifying and surrender it all to him. It means forgiving. It means forgiving the person who hurt you, even if they don't deserve it, because Jesus forgave you first. Forgive the person who hurt you, even when they don't deserve it, because Jesus forgave you first. It means choosing his way over your way or your preferences. It means choosing him. Even when, kids, this is probably most important for you than it is adults. Choosing Jesus, choosing his way, his directions for our life over your preferences, over your friend group, even when it's inconvenient or unpopular. It means giving him your future, your plans, your schedule, saying, Jesus, lead me wherever you want to go. How many of us could let go of our daily schedule and say, Jesus, just lead me wherever you want me to go? Or do we have our schedule so tight that, Jesus, you can speak to me for this 5 minutes, but I got to get into this meeting, so I don't really have time for you? Listen, are you creating space for Jesus in your life? It means trusting him with your kids, your health, your fears, and your identity. Surrender is not a one-time decision. If you've heard any of that and you said, oh, it's a one-time thing, if I do this, then it's all better. Listen, it's a daily choice to say, Jesus, you are my way, my truth, and my life. And I got to ask, what might change in your sphere of influence? Or if we look in the Bible when it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself, well, who is my neighbor, right? What might change in your neighborhood if you truly lived like Jesus was being truthful when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? What might change in our sphere of influence if that's how we lived every single day? If Jesus truly is the way, if he truly is the truth, and he truly is the life, then the world around us needs to know him. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we affirm that, and we truly believe that, then everybody around us needs to know that. Do you understand the weight of what I'm suggesting to you this morning? If we are not willing to make sure every person hears that, are we ourselves condemning them to hell? I don't know. Maybe somebody else will come and do it. But if the Lord has put them in front of you and you have received Christ Jesus as your Savior and you know that truth and you don't share that truth with them, who are we to make that decision? Well, I don't like the way she talked to me last week. Listen, I don't care. Guess what? If you're offended, Jesus is offended. Let Jesus deal with them. You tell them the truth. So if we believe this, then our whole town needs to know. Our whole world needs to know him. Our families, our coworkers, our city, our county, they don't need opinions. They don't care what you choose to not do or do. They need to know Jesus. They don't care about our religious traditions. They don't care. They need to know Jesus. They simply don't want another empty path to travel down and to be disappointed. They need an encounter, a bold declaration of the gospel message in their life. And that's why, as a church, Emma, if you want to make your way up, that's why we are committed here at Engage Church to engaging our community for Jesus. What does this mean? It means it's not just with words. It's not just with events. It's not just with us doing all the things that put product in people's hands. It is with our lives that we engage our community for Jesus. When we live our life in such a way where we are fully surrendered to Him, engaging our community for Jesus becomes a byproduct of our faith. So what does engaging our community for Jesus mean? It means that you are taking active participation in your sphere of influence. You're not creating obstacle, you're removing obstacle. Lives that walk His way, speak His truth, and reflect His life. That's who I believe we are as Engaged Church. When we all walk like that, when we make it our purpose to surrender our lives to Him, when we walk the path that says He is the way, the truth, and the life, we become living invitations for others to find Him too. So if you would this morning, would you stand to your feet as we get ready to close this morning? Stand to your feet, bow your eyes, bow your head, close your eyes. As I speak to you, and I just want you to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, if He's tugging on your heart or He's dealing with you in any way. If you're here today and you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus, right now, this is your moment. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. This isn't about getting religious. It's not about checking it and saying we're religious now that we did this. Listen, it is about the person of who Jesus is. This is about starting a relationship with the one who gave everything for you. So if you're ready to stop going through the motions, you're ready to stop going your own way and stopping and asking for directions, and you want to follow Him fully, I invite you to respond this morning by raising your hand. So if that's you, right where you're at, if anybody is in the room that would say, yes, I need that, I want that, would you raise your hand at this moment, please? Church, as we close today, for those of you who already know Jesus, there's a question that we have to answer. And it's this: are you fully surrendered? Are you fully surrendered? Are you walking in His way? Are you trusting His truth? And are you living His life? Or are you just giving Him bits and pieces when it's convenient to you? Listen, if the Spirit is stirring something in you today, It is your job to not ignore it. Do not ignore it. Right now, in this moment, in this room, there is no judgment. There is nobody looking down on you and saying, why did they go to the altar? Listen, if the Spirit is stirring, this is now your moment to respond. Lay it down. Lay it at the feet of the cross. Give it to Him and come meet with Jesus today. Church, in these final moments, as the worship team plays, I don't know what they have planned, but listen, don't miss an opportunity to meet with the Creator of the world because you're embarrassed of what people might think of you or because you've got a pot roast in the crock pot and you got to get home to serve lunch. Nobody cares. We want you to meet with Jesus today. So church, come as you are. Come as you are and let Him have all of you. Amen.